Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, it is the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. Liverpool, Atletico Madrid in the Wanda Metropolitano. Jay Pearson, Ross Chandley join me in the studio for this one on the countdown to kick off. Ross, you went with us for the final word show, so you haven't been had a chance to sort of marvel at Liverpool's brilliance. But let's be honest, if you're going to go into a game which is effectively, you know, on paper, the toughest group game we've got, it helps, I think, to go in on the back of a 5-0 win.
100%. And with your front three firing as well, I think he's always a bonus. And the other person that wasn't involved was rested. So there's obviously competition there. The only thing is it's against a team that we don't have a very good track record against. And I find myself confused going, I really hate them, but I also oddly admire the way that they play football. Yeah. And, you know, the Diego Simeone's teams have just been aggressive and nitty gritty, hard working, infuriating at the same time. I quite like it, but it's another test for Liverpool that they have to come unstuck against.
They are horrible. I'm not having anything other than that. And because, a lot of this ties into the fact that you're right, we've struggled against them in the past. I go back to Diego Forlan and Europa Leagues and all that kind of stuff. Don't like Atletico Madrid particularly. Look, being back at the Wanda, being back where there'll be people around the game. You know, think about the incredibly hostile approach they gave to the stadium last time we played them up there. But there is a point here, Jay, where there's a little bit of a point to prove against Atletico. I think that will come more over at Anfield in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah. But they're 2 points behind us in the group. I think it's the most important thing here is to try and cut the legs off them in one way, shape, or form. A draw is a very, very good result, I think, in this regard. But I think given how we played their last time as well, they were lucky to get something out of that game. We didn't particularly do enough to land enough blows on them, but the way in which they got the goal was very, very fortunate. I think Liverpool will feel like they actually can go there and get a result if they need to.
Yeah, and you hit the nail on the head, mate. It's like a revenge mission, isn't it? You know what I mean? It's like
Theme of the season.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Let's get them T-shirts made. I just think we owe them one now. And I just think, we're playing Atletico again. You know, when we got drawn, I was like, oh, I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
But it's a chance to put a marker down on this group and be like, right, we're qualifying and we're qualifying top.
Yeah, no, I completely agree on that. And the one thing that maybe plays into our favour, I suppose you can spin this one way or the other really, Ross, they actually haven't played a game since the 2nd of October. We know that they had their game postponed at the weekend because of the whole Brazilian and South American travel
thing.
What
a great decision that is. A sensible decision.
Yeah.
Very professional.
Well, we say that, but, you know, Liverpool without Alisson and Fabinho won 5-0 away from home in the early kickoff. So...
yeah, technically we've not played either because that was a bit of a training session at the weekend as well, wasn't it? So we're fine. That's it. But you're right, it's like kind of, we spoke about the season about momentum and going into games, whereas, you know, that works both ways. And Liverpool sense, you're right, you know, winning 5-0, being buoyed, whatever. You've got the Brazilian lads that have been over there for a few days. They want to get back involved as well. Whereas Atletico, I've no doubt that Simeone will have them drilled, training ready, you know, doing, you know, training sessions of matches against each other ready for this game. The fact they've not played is probably massive, but also they haven't lost the game either at the same time, so, you know, they'll be quite happy with that.
Well, yeah, of course, they go into the international break having beaten Barca 2-0, so, you know, they're in decent shape, fourth in the league. The only reason they're down is because they've got a game in hand at this point. If they win the game in hand, they'll be level top of the league, so they've started really, really well, really. I mean, they had a real struggle for goals for a while, which is why when they were a goal down against AC in the last Champions League, I did think, oh, this what a result this will be. But what they've got is they've still got a lot of winners in that side. And you mentioned the Diego Simeone attitude and what have you. When you've got Suarez leading the line, you've got him as the manager, you're not going to give games up easily. No. And to turn that around, I think actually sets them up. This could have been a bit of a dead rubber already, but it's a massive game in terms of the group already.
Yeah, they've got better since last time we played them. Yeah. And again, that frightens me a little bit because we didn't... you know, have a good track record with him in the past, and I'm just like, this is the one game I was really worried about. I mean, granted, we played against AC Milan and Anfield, I should have been a bit more worried. But we sorted
that out. Complacent as well, did you?
A little bit, yeah. A little bit complacent, yeah. I was in the crowd going, what? Yeah. But I'm more excited for this game now because I like this Liverpool side being tested against side like this.
Yeah.
Because it can stand you in good stead for the rest of the season. So I'm more excited than I am nervous.
Yeah. Well, it's a massive week, Ross. It's a huge week in terms of our ambitions for the season because, you know, to that point, I think Liverpool will feel that they're better than both teams they're going up against this week. You know, Atletico and Man United at the weekend. But you've still got to go out there and do it. You know, a win here puts us in a commanding position as far as the group goes, with them still to come to Anfield, of course. And again, if you're thinking of them as the toughest other side, which might be up for debate, AC Milan and Porto, both good teams. We don't know how good we are in comparison to them yet. And similarly with the Man United thing, on paper, you're looking at it going, both teams got a wealth of talent, both teams have got, you know, more than enough going for them. I feel we're better. But you've actually kind of got to go and prove it now.
Yeah, well, I think we're better. I think you're right before, a point is a good result, but you don't go into a game going for a point there. Yeah. And certainly there's one player there, Mohamed Salah, in his form of the season, won't allow Liverpool to go in there thinking that a point will do. You've got the advantage of you win, great. You know, you've got a good lead in the group stages. You can afford to rotate a little bit more, but that never seems to work out, or it certainly doesn't feel that way. So a draw would be good. Even a loss, like, it wouldn't be nicer to before, like, momentum and feeling going into a big game against Manchester United, but you're not at the group stage at that point. And I've got one eye on Man United because it feels like it's a really good time to play them, but also it's not because all those players, and we'll do this later on in the week, have been terrible for weeks, but I know for a fact they'll get themselves up for Liverpool. Liverpool have to be prepared for that, and similar, that's going to do the same.
Well, exactly. And to be fair, as far as your preparations for Old Trafford going the wonder, you know, against a really well-disciplined side with attacking talent, Atletico Madrid are a better team than Manchester United. Man United, on paper, have got more stars, I think. That maybe.
Not the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the point. The one thing that Man United haven't got going for them, they haven't got a brilliantly organised defence. Yeah, they've got a good goalie, but haven't got a goalie as good as Oblak. They've got a good atmosphere, and the atmosphere will be toxic because it does. But, you know, you're not going to get...
Kickoff before the game on Sunday.
Well, there will be, you know, but there always is. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, they've got loads of that kind of stuff going on. They'll be distracted in a variety of ways. But like the coach isn't going to be greeted in the way that it's going to be greeted at Wanda. The point is this is going to be a bigger spectacle. It's going to be a bigger noise. It should be a much sterner challenge. And you want that. This is like, it's like almost like training against a better opponent than you're going to go into the ring against in some regards. So yeah, I'm excited about this because I want to see Liverpool tested. I need to know how good we are.
Yeah.
And I think we're good. And I think the second half against City showed it, but also we saw a couple of bits, you know, we didn't get past Chelsea. We've dropped points to Man City now. We could really do with owning this group because also we actually need to put our focus into the Premier League for a few weeks.
Yeah, no, it's true, mate. And, you know, 6 points this week is just massive. It goes back to, do you remember the week we had when we played Manchester United and Real Madrid? You know, it was like that. We knew we were a very good side.
Yeah.
And then coming through that, we were like, my God,
we
are amazing. And it'd be the exact same this week. I know that's 10 years between, but it's that feeling again that I'm getting. And it's mad that I'm having that feeling. It's not a knockout game. It's the group stage and just shows how big this competition's become.
I think the experience of playing there, it wasn't last season, was it? It was the season before. I think it was one of the last games I went to, actually. Like, the atmosphere, like, being prepared for that sort of thing. I think those players, most of them that will play tomorrow will have that experience of going, okay, I know what to expect now. I know how hostile it is. I know it doesn't make it easier, in fact, but it does in a sense because you can go, I know what to expect. And it was loud, it was horrible.
Well, we haven't played a big game away from home yet this season, to that level.
Yeah.
You know, I know we went to Porto, and Porto can be, but it wasn't the full capacity either.
No.
You know, whereas we had, you know, Brentford made a big noise and we had a little wobble there again. That's what I'm kind of saying, is that it's the atmosphere is training for Old Trafford as well, but also again, you need to go there and withstand it. And to my point again, Liverpool will go for the win, of course they will, because that's how they're there. But if we get a point from that in terms of setting the group up, you've taken Atletico's best chance away of taking points off you, and then you've got to bring them to Anfield in a fortnight when you've got 54,000 people, most of whom were infected with coronavirus the last time we played them by their travelling fans with our big point to prove and a big noise to make and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it sets us up. We want to set that game up to really mean something in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, no, it's very exciting stuff indeed. Jen LFC, who's been a member here on YouTube for 10 months, is a cult hero. Well, in Jen, great content, guys. You smashed it. Thank you so much. That's very lovely of you to take the time out of your day to say, you know, when you, most people go take to social media and just say audible stuff. So thank you so much. That is lovely. Thank you. Have a great day. Right, yeah, we'll take some more comments and stuff a little bit later on in the show. So if you've got some thoughts and feelings on the Atletico game and who Liverpool should be starting in that team, then do get them comments in. And if you are a Club Legend subscriber on the Redmen TV, you've got our Discord chat to get involved in that as well. Right, we're going to take a very short break before diving into what we think Jurgen Klopp is going to do, who should be starting up front, who's starting in midfield and beyond. But yeah, we've got a fantastic documentary streaming on the website right now that was made by Ben Kelly. 1 year after that famed game, of course, before the shutdown, where we all got infected by COVID and what it meant for the city of Liverpool and beyond. Fantastic stuff. Here's a little look at that. Actually, wait, no, trivia question.
Just testing you.
Jesus Christ. Trivia question. 8 players to have played for both Liverpool and Atletico. Name them. Right, here you go. Here's the trailer for the documentary.
We were football fans going to a football match, and our job was to go there and support the team.
The field is a Red Roll Coliseum.
The mystery virus started here in the city.
You must stay at home.
Who is to blame for that game going ahead?
2,500 Atletico Madrid fans coming in, bringing virus with them.
2 weeks later, the death rate absolutely rocketed.
He shoots again and scores again!
Imagine quite how deadly and how life-changing it's going to be.
Many more families are going to lose loved ones before their time.
That's bad for so many bodies.
This really is serious. It's very hard now.
Somebody fucked up. And somebody should be held accountable.
Yes, there you go. That fantastic documentary. Really, really good stuff. You know, we do a lot of like lighthearted stuff. Anyone who's watched us on YouTube will know we do. We don't take life or footy too seriously, but you know that is a real. It's a really interesting watch, to be honest, and it's got some great insight into some, you know, some really sort of like hard sort of topics and whatever. So yeah, I would highly recommend it. And we've also got loads of lighthearted stuff on the website as well. So sign up on the redmentv.com, and if you become a club legend on there as well, then you get access to our Discord group to use in live streams.
And you get your own show as well.
Oh yeah, actually, yeah, we can announce this. The club legends have come to us and said, "Can we have a club legends show that goes on the website?" And we went, yeah, and now we're actually doing it. So yeah, the club legends themselves, it's the club legends show for club legends by club legends, which is going to have a rotating member of the Redmen TV team in there as well as a guest, where guys get to, if you join in there, you get to be on that show, which is very cool. I'm very it's a weird like proud dad moment.
Yeah, that's what I'm to have this, a different level, which is great, mate.
So this come out. So if you want to be on that show, then become a club legend on the redmentv.com. Right, the question was, there's 8 players to have played for both Atletico Madrid and Liverpool Football Club. I want you to name them. I mean, there's one really, really, really obvious one, but there's 2 really, really obvious ones.
Well, I got Torres.
Yeah.
I got Suarez.
Yeah.
And I got Garcia. Ooh. Did you get any others?
No.
Who did you forget out of them 3?
Suarez.
Ah, fair enough.
He actually just replaced them right now.
Yeah, that was my most obvious one.
You mentioned it before.
Yeah.
Now I've got nothing.
Yeah, I've got my man. I'll
take some clues.
I'm fuming with myself.
Arbeloa, Morientes, Jota.
What?
What's the name? Slow down.
That's not clues. Slow, that's just you shouting footballers. Are you having football player Tourette there? What are you doing?
Danny Rose.
Do you want some clues?
Yeah, I have some clues.
The ultimate pre-season player who never made it as a first teamer for Liverpool.
Oh, fucking hell. Narrow it down.
We talk about him every pre-season. He's the benchmark for young footballers. Danny Pacheco. Yeah. Famed, one of 2 young signings made by Gerard Houllier.
Pongol.
Florence Cinema Pongol, nice. Correct. Newcastle fullback, currently.
Mankio.
Javi Mankio. Former Liverpool left-back. One season he should very much have been in rotation for another season or two, but unfortunately he was in competition with Aurelio, which means that he played lots more football than he should have done, and he never had a great career for Liverpool off the back of it. Argentine, small, looked like he was physically related.
Oh, Insua.
Insua. Yeah, well done. And one more, he ran down the wing for
Maxi.
Maxi Rodriguez, well done. There you go. If you got all them right, you were absolutely fantastic. Give yourself a massive round of applause. Pat back on the back, yeah, and all that good stuff.
I think
stuff.
We did all right there. I carried you. I mean, yeah, it's fine.
Won't be the first time, won't be the last time. right, so let's talk Liverpool team then. Fabinho and Alisson will be back. Ross, there's nowhere where they don't just come back into this team, but it's a good starting point. We've got two lads there who've had a weekend off. It's very rare that you get to rest your goalkeeper, but so be it, we have. It means there's just two less places. The goalkeeper, I mean, particularly midfield. Fabinho will come back in, and then you're really determining who are going to be your other two.
Yeah, 100%. Can't argue with that. I think Keller more or less had a rest bar that one save that he had to make another 9 minutes of the Watford game as well. So, you know, not that he's done anything wrong, but obviously Alisson's the best goalkeeper in the world, so I think he starts. Fabinho, we're talking about the work rate and the needle of Atletico. I think he's the person to have in there. Probably a guaranteed yellow card, but you need someone to put out fires and to kind of help out those other midfielders and the fullbacks, because I feel like it's going to be an intense end-to-end game. You need him in that midfield because I think, you know, it's all good having a rest, but he's the best in that position in the world as well. So why would you not have him in there? But also it gives the likes of, you know, maybe Milner gets a rest in this one. And again, we shouldn't really do this, but I think you do. Is have one eye on Sunday and go, I can play Fabinho. I'll rest one, see who's in the best, you know, physical condition for this one. I don't think there's anyone who played against Watford who deserves to be dropped, to be perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. But also, that's a good problem to have. You know, yeah. It's a couple better than last season. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, you've signed, you play well, show me in training, you know, today and obviously tomorrow, who deserves to start?
Yeah. Mm. And I don't think there could be tons of players banging on the door for this one. It being two big games, I can't see us doing anything drastic in terms of rotation. But to your point there, which I think is spot on, Ross, there's not like... there's no weaknesses, yeah. You know what I mean? So I can't really see Nico Williams now starting this game instead of Trent Alexander-Arnold. I could see him very much doing a similar thing where if you can, maybe you sub Trent off with 10 minutes to go again just to keep him fresh for Manchester United. And similarly with Tsimikas, but I think Tsimikas would be more likely. But again, he's going to put as many of his best players on the pitch. I guess, Jay, it's down to this now. Who are the best players available for this? Because we're in a weird situation where I'm not entirely certain. So, like, Hendo will start because he's the captain. He'll likely be pushed into further forward in midfield. But then you're talking, does Keita go again? If Jones is back, which I think it would be touch and go, would you chuck him in for this? Oxlade-Chamberlain looked bright when he came off the bench at the weekend. How close is Thiago in this conversation as well?
James Milner,
eternal. He was actually rested as well. So it says that Milner might actually be ahead of the other lads for this one, potentially. Maybe Keita or Milner for this.
It's a lovely headache to have, though, isn't it?
Yeah. What would you do?
After watching Naby, I'd be putting him in again. Really enjoyed watching him.
Yeah.
And as much as I've been very disappointed overall with his time at Liverpool in terms of his injuries and stuff like that. But I just think, he's got this, we said on the final word, didn't we, with the Watford game, he just seems like he's got something in his mind now mentally where he's like, I feel like he's got past that barrier of, I can't perform, but I feel like now he can. So I'd like to see Keita in there, especially with the way Atletico Madrid play. You know, Ross touched on it brilliantly, like Fabinho putting the fires out and letting Naby go and do his job. And I think that for me, that I'd love to see that.
Yep.
But again, the dynamic can change. When we were talking on the final word about Naby being on one side of the midfield, he might now go back on the other side to accommodate what Hendo needs to be doing, what Fabinho needs to be doing. So nice headache to have, mate, but that would be what I would do. But if Jones, I wouldn't be disappointed because he likes playing, you know, just Jones, doesn't he?
He does indeed. What are you thinking, Ross?
James Milner, I think. Only because I don't think he's done anything wrong. I think he plays this one, doesn't play Manchester United.
Yeah.
And I was talking about the midfield before. Completely forgot one of the best players for Atletico when we played him last time was Thomas Partey.
Yeah.
Because he fucking really ran the show, but he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So have they still got that industrial midfield to require that? But I think when you're going for a win slash draw, but you want to come out with a draw at the very least, I think that industrious, hard working midfield, which I know a lot of people don't like, but it's got us a lot of success in recent years. So I would tend to do that and go, actually, Naby Keita, you run between the lines and just tear Man United apart.
Well, I wonder whether our approach, though, because it depends what Atletico are. Because you look at Atletico's players, and I look at Joao Felix, and you look at Luis Suarez, and you look at Thomas Lemar, and you look at, you know, I know, but you know, the options that they've got good attacking options, but you know, we talk about them, they're a bit, I don't want to disrespect them too much by calling them the Spanish Burnley, because they're obviously not, but they are a team that will be resolute and be hard to break down, and I wonder whether we've constructed our side more around that, because we saw last season the template to beating Liverpool is to be hard to break down and trust that we won't have enough to get through them. I think we will. I don't think we'll go industrious. So I wonder whether. I mean, Eklund Henderson, it's a disrespect to say he's industrious, of course, but I wonder whether Keita might be a better nod to whether his body can carry him through on this one, because Fabinho, Milner, Henderson, I'm not sure gives you enough. I mean, I'm saying this when Milner got an assist in the last game from the left byline.
More, Bobby might need to be do a little bit more.
He might have to as a result, or maybe you actually go 4-2-3-1 and you start Jota and Bobby in this one because you know that Atletico are not going to be a free-flowing, open-ended game of football. Liverpool are going to have more of the ball and we're going to be tasked with breaking them down, and we failed that test miserably the last time we went to the Wanda to do it. We barely landed a glove on them. So maybe we do trust in that and go more attacking from the start, which might preclude Milner's selection in this one.
But you can still go attacking with your fullbacks and Mad Milner dropping for them to do the right back. But you've just convinced me to go 4-2-3-1. So you just wanted Jota and the rest of them. Yeah, all in for that.
Yeah,
but that's
lovely
though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Can,
lovely.
Like, when you're chatting about what you put Milner, I was going, actually, no, yeah. So sign me up for anything.
Mm. Yeah, no, I am. And then I guess just if, let's say we don't and we stick with the three. You've got Jota there who's not played the weekend. We know he had a slight injury concern, which is why Portugal let him go early. He's on the bench, so he must be fine. And you'd imagine if he was fine for the weekend, he'd be fine to start for this one. But is there one eye on Manchester United where you're thinking, here's my lineup that I definitely, because I want to go into Old Trafford and I know how I'm beating Manchester United. So you work backwards and therefore Bobby comes out for Jota for this one, or...
When he's just scored a hat-trick. You know, if somebody's not a proper number nine, you scored three number nine goals from an accumulative 10 yards at the weekend. Bobby's in some of the best form that he's been in the past two seasons. I don't see the reason to drop him. I think it'd be extremely harsh. Maybe if he's a bit tired, you would do, but like, he's got to score three goals. Why are you dropping me? You know, what does that say to him? But also, this is why we have the competition. This is why we have Diogo Jota, because he's supposed to come in and put these players out. I keep forgetting we get five subs in the Champions League.
Yeah.
So you can start with these players, and I don't think it's a knock. You know, so Bobby didn't start and go, well, actually, he's still got half an hour. Mm. And then you got to start on Sunday against Manchester United. I don't think it's a bad thing.
The thing with Bobby's in is that he needs match sharpness. We're talking about a lad who just got a hat-trick to the point, but I think he looked a little off it in his general play. And that's not like through lack of skill or endeavour or any of those things. It's just he hasn't played lots of football. Mm. And you need to get him back. He needs two or three 90s to be the best Bobby Firmino, which is frightening, by the way, because again, he's just scored a hat trick. He's got like he's nearly like a goal a minute ratio at this point of how well he's playing.
Isn't he even last season's goal and assists so far, isn't he?
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
So there's a point here where, to Ross's point, maybe Jota just goes back into the mix, you know, for the week where he's our 60-minute substitute, and it might be for Mane, or it might be for Bobby, or hell, it might be for Salah if the game's going really well for you. And then you've got another gear to go to if things aren't working out, and maybe you're chasing a goal, or maybe you're chasing a winner. Having someone like that to bring on to change the game, Jota could be a very useful asset like that.
Yeah, and Josh is not going to be. Of course, he'll be upset. Every player wants to start games, but he knew what he signed up for when he came to the club. He knew that, right, I've got to edge my way into that front three. And when that front three is playing, you know, the way it does, you're not getting a look in, which is great because it's a great headache for Klopp. So he'll know, but he'll also know that I know I'm very good at football and I can score goals. So if I corner against Atletico, I'm giving you a headache for Manchester United.
Yeah.
It's also interesting the fact that I think Jota might be better because Bobby seems to struggle against people who play deep. That's what Atletico are going to do. So we play like the Brightons and the Burnleys, and he's got banks of four in front of him. He struggles for time and space, where he's good against Watford because they were just fucking all over the show. Yeah. Whereas Jota's got that kind of last man on the shoulder about him at times, might be a benefit.
But I'd be saying that, but like that, Bobby, they had two banks of four and then a bank of four and a bank of five in Watford. I know they weren't organised with it, which is, of course, which is a major difference. Yeah. And again, Bobby's shown in that game that he actually has got the instincts to be in the right place at the right time, because they're all poachers' goals, aren't they? I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way, because I think Jota feels more lethal.
Yeah.
But I think, again, it's going to depend on what the midfield is behind and how the pattern of play develops and what have you. I think if you've got someone who's breaking lines from midfield, then I don't know that you might need to actually, because just tell Bobby to go and be attacking, tell him to be in the right place at the right time. The good thing is that I don't think it matters actually which one we start.
A greedy part, it's fine.
You've said that as a joke.
I know,
but.
What?
There's a chance Divock Origi actually does play in this game. It's a perfectly reasonable
time for this or Preston, isn't it?
Yeah, well, he will definitely play in the Preston game, but I don't think he will, actually, because I think while you've got those four lads to choose from, poor old Taki Minamino, I don't quite know where he is at all really, to be fair. But it's good. It's an interesting situation to be in, because I don't think anyone would be arsed. I think now that we've seen Bobby and we've seen the smiles and the celebrations, let's be honest, we love Bobby Firmino more than we love Diogo Jota. And that's not that we don't love Diogo Jota, he's just very new. We haven't had a chance to get used to him properly yet. We've got four lads here who can all come in, and realistically, actually, it's the Champions League. You've got five, because Origi could quite reasonably come in and offer something in this football match as well. So yeah, we've got lots of those choices. The bench is going to be immense one way or the other, and we've got a rare ability to change the game positively from the substitutes bench, because we don't know where we are. At the moment, we don't know where Thiago's at, and I would suspect that even if he was back in full training, he wouldn't be starting this football match anyway. He might be a substitute option if that's possible. That would be very nice if that was the case. Curtis Jones will be in a similar kind of situation, but past that, there's not really a combination of footballers I would be really unhappy.
And if you can't put those two lads that you just mentioned there, then you just prepare them for the next game.
Yeah.
And then sell the lads who are playing midfield for this one, go and run your socks off, and you might get a break on Sunday.
The only other thing is maybe Joe Gomez, but I'm not sure he's in rotation for the right side of centre-half thing. And it's just that little extra pace with the likes of Thomas Lamar there and Felix as well. But
why would you change anything?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Obviously, we play Watford, but we come back from the international break and everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure Matthew doesn't play international football, but like, I'm shocked still that he's remained fit. You know, his form has been arguably better than Van Dijk.
It's interesting, actually. We did a big old chat about Matip. If you want to check out the Final Word show on the website, then please do. Or if you're a YouTube member, you can check that out as well. He's benefited from a break. He's benefited from a pre-season. He's, you know, and Chris made the case, he actually might be in better form than Van Dijk so far this season. The only thing is that we've got, and Naby's the same, they feel like the human equivalent of the Sword of Damocles, of like, a Matip injury and a Keita injury are hanging over our heads.
They go into the red zone a lot quicker than everyone else.
Our logic follows that Naby's just played three international games. He's then played against Watford, which we were all shocked with, and given how much he played as well and how well he played, that might be a game too far for him to do another one if you then wanted to play Man United. And we know we rotated the centre-halves a little bit, but I can't see how we're rotating the centre-halves for this. But if you weren't going to rotate the centre-halves for United, for Atletico and United, why did we not do it against Watford? Yeah. Who were going to be a slight, but does that tie into the fact that we had a young goalkeeper playing? You drive yourself mad. It's impossible.
I can
name
the 11 versus Preston before I could do Man United and Atletico.
Probably. Yeah. But I think it will be a very similar 11 over these two games, and then you will ask them to go hard for this week. Because everyone wants to go hard, and it's a big test of a test of character as well in this as well. But to your point, we've got options there. We can change the game from the bench and not lower the quality of what we've got on the pitch. So very, very exciting indeed. Let's have a little look at how the group's panning out then. So far, and how the rest of the Champions League is looking. Top of Group B for us at the moment. Played 2-1-2, 8-4, 3 against. Obviously, as you said already, this puts us 2 points ahead of Atletico Madrid. Porto down in third on 1 point. That'll be interesting again, whether if Porto can pick up a win against AC Milan and either drag themselves into a conversation. You know, you want Atletico looking at Porto, maybe, or you want a world where they both cut each other's throats and Liverpool and Atletico know they can kind of just ease their way out of the group to some extent.
But I can't read any of that.
In my glasses.
There we go. But you're looking at that now, a win against Atletico, and I'm all of a sudden feeling very, very comfortable about that group.
Yeah,
it's massive.
Porto Milan draw will do.
Absolutely made up with that one. And just to have a look so far, PSG top of Group A with Man City down in third at the moment. That would be fucking hilarious if they managed to conspire to fuck that up. They are playing
football,
a game of football. They are playing Club Bruges. Simon Mignolet's own Club Bruges in Bruges. To be fair, City should still walk that. By all accounts, they battered PSG, didn't they? But we're a bit unlucky to not get something from it. But not asked in the slightest. Right, we're gonna wrap up shortly. I want to get some score predictions from you guys before we go, Ross.
1-0 Liverpool.
2-0 Liverpool.
Ooh. I'll take a 2-0 to Liverpool.
I was going to make a shit house and go for a draw. I thought, no, do you know what? Actually, well, we need to beat them there.
Yeah.
Positivity.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Just to make it more dynamic, but less pleasurable, but more pleasurable, 2-1 to Liverpool, having had them go ahead this time again, like last time. We
score one of our 37 shots.
But we actually just go and turn it round. I don't want this to be I don't want this to be a walk in the park. No. I want every game to be a walk in the park. A stupid thing to say.
8-0.
Yeah. But for the challenge of it, I quite like the idea of us getting a hard fought 1-0 in isolated goal wins where we've had to come through the adversity and silence the crowd and do that, because again, for me, this game's important, but it's nowhere near as important as the Man United game. And not because I think Man United are title challenges, I really don't think that at all, but I think that they think they are, and I want us to be as prepared as possible for this. And I know there's some cases, if you win this 5-0, you get to rest loads of players and you may be more physically ready for Old Trafford, but I want us to be battle hardened by the time we go into Old Trafford.
Sunday can be a statement. We obviously dick them everywhere, go and actually put them back in your place. You aren't title challenges, you never were. You conned by last season.
Liam Bento is one of our Wonder Kid members here on YouTube, says 6 matches in the next 22 days, nice precursor to the upcoming festive season fixture crunch. Completely on that. Again, you know, this is a side that does best in those kind of environments. We're very good. We've managed to become very good at being good in high pressure, multiple game environments. And now that we've got actual lads to rotate, I mean, we're in a world now where, to the point, Divock Origi would have been rotated or Sturridge would have been rotated in years gone by, who's a lad who doesn't suit what we do. Now we're in a world where we're talking about maybe not playing Jota for the second game on the bounce, not starting him and having him as a substitute option. We talked about this on the final word, where you've got the top Premier League top goal scorers and it's Salah, and then Mane's a little further down and Firmino's down there as well. Jota's right underneath there. He's not far away. In a couple of weeks' time, he could very well be right. We could have 4 of the top 5 goal scorers in the next couple of weeks. lovely stuff. Right, yes, thank you so much for joining us for the build-up show for Atletico Madrid. We will be back with the watch-along on the night as well. It's also, make sure you come and check that out with us on Tuesday evening. Plenty more to keep you going. In the meantime, there will be an Oppo preview. Steve's sorting that one out if you want to get more about Atletico Madrid. That is going to be on the RedmenTV.com, the Around the League show. Are you on that today?
Yes.
Do you know what we're talking about?
Arsenal.
Ooh.
Who played tonight, and obviously some of the on the early stuff as well. It's all kicking off a little bit, and Gary Neville's changed his mind, oddly enough, and said Man United were never a title challenges.
I think he said. So I did the overlap stuff last week, and it was fascinating how it was him and Paul Scholes were asked about it, and they both like paused for just slightly too long, where they were clearly gathering there. How do I say this best without upsetting my friend, the Manchester United manager? But yeah, great stuff. Plenty of Ole chat, I think, in the next few days or so leading up to the Man United game. But yeah, we'll have that all covered for you. So if you want to get everything in and around the match, and you want documentaries, features and interviews, John Achterberg, we got Paddy the Baddy, UFC's breakout scout star, in conversation with shows are there for you guys on the RedmanTV.com. So get involved. And if you become a club legend, you get your name at the end of the credits, just like you'll see in a second. Thank you, gents. Thank you. Absolute pleasure. See you all very soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.